Welcome into the Unnamed MMA Podcast. I'm Adam Abdallah. Across from me, as always, Jordan Sherwood. Follow him on Twitter at WoodOnESPN1000. Get all of his picks, FatJackSports.com. Super Bowl's coming up. Super Bowl's on Sunday. You got to get signed up. Last football game of the year. Well, the season. There's, I mean, it's going to start
calendar year starts.
Yeah, in like September. So we'll be good for a few months.
You could double dip this weekend.
You could.
Super Bowl and UFC, both in Vegas.
So I wanted to talk to you about that. This is a complete missed opportunity for the UFC. Why isn't UFC, and I know it's in it, you're going to say like, well, because it's
in. Am I going to say it in that voice?
No, I know you're not. I'm saying the royal you, like as in the people that listen to this, will be like, well, it's in Anaheim next week. Okay, I don't care.
Yeah, move it to Vegas this weekend.
Move it to Vegas this weekend.
It's odd because in years past, before the UFC really got to the level that they were, traditionally the Super Bowl Sunday UFC card was one of the biggest fight cards of the year.
Yeah, I remember that.
It was July International Fight Week and mm-hmm. then typically New Year's were their big three.
Okay.
Kind of like the big four of the WWF back in the day.
They yeah.
Three traditionally big UFC cards.
Yeah.
And now the norm for the UFC is they've got so many fights and so many things to schedule, and they got so accustomed.
I would say too many fights.
Yes. And accustomed to booking these fights at the UFC apex, where now they're just, you know, putting up matchups. And even further along, you know, you've got Dana White announcing fights that are not signed. Like, he's now backtracking on a second UFC 300 fight that he's not letting us know which fight that is. He's not letting us know which fight it is, but he's saying that a fight that he announced is happening at UFC 300
is no longer is
actually,
happening?
No, it's actually not signed yet.
Oh, okay.
But he's not telling us what fight that is. But then also there was, you know, the news that lasted 24 hours last week that Dustin Poirier had not agreed to his fight at UFC 299 against Benoit Saint-Denis, but it just had to do with the fact that Dustin Poirier like couldn't get a hold of his manager, and his manager signed for him, and so the fight's back on.
Yeah.
But you're right. This fight card and next week's fight card should be combined, and they should be taking place this weekend in Vegas.
Well, just do UFC 298 should be this weekend, and like there should be something for people to go to. Like this fight card kicks off this weekend at 3 o'clock
Central,
which is 1 o'clock in the afternoon in Vegas. I'm not saying there's nothing to do in Vegas at 1 o'clock
in the
afternoon.
But all the pomp and circumstance stuff from the NFL is probably done. Maybe there's some parties.
Oh, there's parties.
The night before.
Oh, there's parties.
I remember that being the penthouse party when I went to the Super Bowl down in Miami.
Yeah.
I think that was the night before.
Yeah, there's parties.
There's parties. But still,
you could do, it's to me, I went to Vegas when the Bears played the Raiders a couple years ago with Waddle and Sylvie, and it was Tyson, Fury. It was that fight.
And Wilder.
It was Fury, Wilder, 2? Whatever the last one was, okay? And, like, it was a big deal, and, like, everyone was going to it. We tried to find a cheap ticket. No such thing, right? But my point is, like, that fight was done at like 9:30, and there was still a whole night of stuff to do. And so what I'm saying is like UFC could do a big card this weekend in Vegas for everyone and have it still end at like 10 o'clock and it would be fine. And everybody could still go to their parties and everybody could still do because it's not like the players are going, you know, the players are in bed, they're sleeping. Regardless of they're staying 30 miles away from the strip.
Yeah, they could have combined their efforts and maybe they could have done like they've been doing all year with the Manning cast. I know it's ESPN doing it, but the Manning cast, they could have done like a Manning cast of the UFC per se and had two former NFL players calling the fights.
Yeah.
Like they did with Snoop Dogg and Uriah Faber back in the day and Dana White's Contender Series.
Yeah.
You know, some sort of alternative format. Take advantage of everything that's going on in Vegas, albeit with, fine, then even if you're having this fight card, pump it up a little bit with some notable names, some fights with you know, significant meaning.
I just feel like it's a missed opportunity.
Yeah, you're right.
Complete missed opportunity. I know that Dana White's making the rounds on, like, Radio Row and to all these shows and stuff like that, but, like, that doesn't really do anything for the sport other than we got big fights coming.
Yeah.
The Sphere's going to be awesome. It's like, okay, cool.
UFC 300, who's headlining? I don't know.
I don't know. We're going to tell you.
We'll tell you when we tell you.
It's like, okay, well, I just don't think they have a fight set yet.
They don't. They definitely do not. They cannot figure out what that fight is. Now I'm hearing Alex Pereira versus Tom Aspinall for the interim heavyweight title.
What? No. No.
Exactly.
No.
Exactly.
Well, next week we've got a very good card to preview for you. This week, I'm told it's good. We'll see. By the way, our show parlay hit last week, so maybe we'll go for another one again this week as a show parlay, because that cash.
I'll have a couple for sure that should be recommended.
Of course you will. Of course, that's what we're doing here. We're trying to make people some money on Saturday that they can then bet with on Sunday.
What are you doing for the Super Bowl? You got plans?
Yeah, I have a one-year-old. I'm going to be at home.
You can bring the one-year-old to a Super Bowl party?
No, she goes to bed, dude. I'm not messing with that.
Okay, or you could have people over at your place? Just the three of you?
I don't want people at my place, yeah.
Just the three of you.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to order food or whatever, make food probably. More likely make food. I'll probably make something.
Okay.
I mean, we're going out Saturday night, so I imagine Sunday's going to be rough. Like, my wife's parents are coming in, and we're going out Saturday night. I think Sunday is going to be rough. So
good for you.
I'm gonna be hungover on Sunday.
Okay, I remember those days.
Yeah, because I haven't had it. It's not like I did dry January or anything. I just, like I said, I have a one-year-old. My days of going out and drinking a bunch and just being able to rally are over because I have something that wakes me up at 6 o'clock every morning.
You're going to look at your watch, what a phone, whatever it is.
Dude, we're not going out to dinner till 9:30.
You're not going to make it past appetizers.
We're going to see a comedian, and then we're going to dinner afterwards.
You are not even going to dinner. You're going to see the comedian. You're going to look at the time, be like,
no,
all right.
No, we're going with other people. Like, we have to show up.
You're going to go see the comedian,
no.
and then you're going
to
bow out. You're
going
to be like, all right, we're just going to go pick up some Smashburger on the way
we
home.
We have to.
And just take care of biz.
I might get Smashburger for the game, wings and everything.
That's a good choice.
But I'm telling you, we have to go to dinner.
That's going to be...
We're the ones that suggested going to dinner.
You guys bit off more than you could chew.
No, we're doing this. I don't care.
You are...
I'll be tired.
100%. I will be texting you at 10 o'clock and you will be on your way home.
No. Unless it's just the dinner's that crappy. We'll see. All right, let's get started with this UFC Fight Night main card. It starts with Rodolfo Vieira against Armin Petrosian. I feel like we've talked a lot about Armin Petrosian before. He seems to fight a lot. Vieira comes in 4-2 through his first six fights, collecting submissions in every single one of his victories. This is a clash of styles because Petrosian likes to punch. Vieira likes to grapple, so this one should be a good one to start.
Styles make fights. Yep. This is an entertaining fight for sure. Mm-hmm. Rodolfo Vieira came in with probably some of the best credentials we've ever seen from a Brazilian jiu-jitsu practitioner. This guy is a black belt hunter. He is a wizard on the ground, and he has evolved as a mixed martial artist. So it's interesting. Both of these guys are like old school UFC, where they came from different backgrounds and then merge themselves into the UFC, whereas now, obviously, people are fully training as mixed martial artists. Vieira came in as a grappler, Petrosian, with a kickboxing background. So that's the first thing you're going to have to ask is who's going to be able to dictate what they want to do. Vieira, throughout his UFC tenure, has shown the ability to get fights to the ground and submit you. Striking is evolving. Cardio has always been suspect with him. He has gassed out in fights before and actually has led to some awkward losses and weird submissions. Alex Hernandez, I believe, submitted him, and he was a huge underdog when that occurred. Armin Petrosian, long, rangy kickboxer, been in there with some of the best as well, but very good takedown defense. And that's the area I'm focusing in particular, because Petrosian right now currently slated as an underdog, slight underdog, but an underdog at that. Mm-hmm. And I think that he clearly has the advantage on the feet. And if Vieira is not able to get this fight to the ground quickly, he's going to be in for a world of hurt. Now, granted, he's shown that his cardio has improved. But I think the fight that he's going to get for three rounds with Armin Petrosian is something that he's not going to be able to handle well, because I believe Petrosian will be able to get back to his feet. And furthermore, Adam, if you look at the round total at over 1.5, is juiced to the over.
Yeah.
And I think if you're handicapping this fight, it's Vieira early, Petrosian late. So I believe with the odds makers saying that this fight's going to go into the later rounds, that speaks to favor Petrosian. So I like Petrosian money line straight up.
All right.
As the underdog, if you're giving me plus money on Petrosian, I like him. Banking on that takedown defense holding up, banking on he's got the better cardio, and he's going to have the clearer advantage on the feet. One last point, it wasn't Alex Hernandez the Great, it was Anthony Hernandez. I just want to make sure I'm
there
giving out
go.
My facts
yeah.
correctly.
Yes.
But still, Vieira, an absolute wizard on the ground.
You were thinking of Alexander the Great. You were making
historical
Hernandez
references. And A. Hernandez.
Yeah, you were making historical references. I get it. So it's minus 102 for Petrosian.
No, Alex Hernandez is also a fighter in the UFC.
No, I know. But Alexander the Great is what I was
But that's
going
his
with.
Nickname,
yes,
too.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
I was trying to
Woo!
Make you sound smarter.
No.
Yeah. Like, you know, read books and stuff like that.
Read? We read? What?
What? Petrosian to win by knockout is plus 240. Petrosian to win by decision is plus 300. And by submission is 25-1. On the other side, you've got Vieira by submission plus 165. Vieira by decision plus 550.
Well, I think if you're on the Vieira side, you might as well take that plus money via submission.
Yeah.
Because the guy, again, is a wizard. He has an advantage over basically everybody he's ever stepping into the octagon with on the ground. I just don't think he's going to be able to get this fight to the ground. Or if he does, be able to control the fight on the ground to hunt for that submission. I'm not ignoring the fact that Anthony Hernandez submitted him. A guy that has no business submitting him, but just Vieira ran out of gas. I don't think that Petrosian at the 25-1 number is worth a look.
No.
For me, it's Petrosian just straight up on the money line. And if you want to add further to it, I think the over at 1.5, you've juiced heavily to the over. I think it's a $1.80. I certainly believe in that as well. Petrosian and the over for me.
All right, minus 102, that's pretty much even money for Petrosian. So I like that as well. We go to our next fight, Michael Johnson against Darius Flowers. Michael Johnson has beaten some big names. He's beaten Tony Ferguson. He's beaten Edson Barboza. He's beaten Dustin Poirier. But he's also lost to Clay Guida, Jamie Mullarkey, Reza Madadi. And then also you've got Darius Flowers, who is making his debut at lightweight. He has never fought professionally at lightweight before. He's fought at welterweight, but this is his first fight at lightweight. How do you see this one?
It's going to have to be one of those fights that you wait and see what Darius Flowers looks like at the weigh-ins. The guy's a compact fighter, built like a tank, so it'll be interesting to see how his cut from 170 to 155 take shape and how he handles it. Is he able to recover? If he's on the scale early, one of the first fighters to weigh in, I think he's certainly worth a look. Michael Johnson has had a long career in the UFC since debuting on The Ultimate Fighter, being a part of the Black Zillions versus the American Top Team season. And as you said, yeah, beating some of the best at lightweight. He's got very slick strikes. He's got power at 37 years of age. But he's just fallen flat at times. Like the loss he had to Thiago Moises at the early onset of the pandemic, winning that first round, and then all of a sudden Moises goes to the ground and snaps on a heel hook, and Johnson gets submitted. His last fight against Carlos Diego Ferreira, like, we were on the Johnson side. Johnson easily winning that fight.
Mm-hmm.
Ferreira lands a whole overhand right, and Johnson goes to the Netherland, the shadow realm, if you will. So going back to Darius Flowers, he's training here in Chicago. He's training with the likes of Belal Muhammad, I do like that. Obviously, coming from a very strong camp, a lot of amateur fighters out of that Chicago team as well. So he'll be prepared from that standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm going to lean Flowers. You know, Johnson at 37, coming off of that brutal knockout, has not looked great over his last few fights, although he did get the victory.
The dog,
you know, two dogs in a row.
Even money again, too, for Darius Flowers. A little over, plus 102.
Yeah, but I mean, again, you know, Johnson's going to have to deal with the pressure because Darius Flowers is going to come out like a bat out of hell. He's going to try and, you know, dirty this fight up, maybe look for a takedown or two. And I think the longer this fight goes, the fight's going to favor Johnson. So you bank on the veteran if this fight is going into the later rounds. But I still... I'm telling everybody right now, wait and see to understand what this weight cut looks like. What does Flowers look like at the weigh-ins? Is he able to successfully get to 155?
All right, the total in this fight, it's actually not juiced very high. Over 1.5, minus 120 right there. And you're looking at Flowers to win by knockout, plus 180. Flowers to win by decision, plus 700. 11-1 for submission. And then on the other side, Michael Johnson to win by knockout at plus 140. Michael Johnson to win by decision, plus 450, and then this is not going to be a submission. This is not going to be a grappling fight. 14-1 to win by submission.
The two props that I would look at is Darius Flowers via knockout at plus 170. Okay. Johnson has been knocked out. He'll put himself in danger. Darius Flowers is a powerful puncher. If he successfully cuts the weight, he will rehydrate and bulk up and be likely the bigger fighter come fight night. If you're on the other side, if you're on Johnson looking for value, I think you said a plus 450 for him to win via decision.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I know that Johnson's got power, Darius Flowers got stopped in his UFC debut short notice fight against Jake Matthews. Took that on a week's notice, so that's nothing to ho-hum about. You know, Jake Matthews, very good fighter in the 170-pound division. So I think Johnson just avoiding danger, maybe losing the first round, but then beginning to outpoint, outwork, outscore Darius Flowers. So Johnson via decision at plus 450 might be worth another look.
A little sprinkle.
If you're
like
on the Johnson side.
Yes.
I'm leaning towards the Flowers side.
Flowers, yeah.
Because again, just how Johnson has looked, the Flowers camp,
yeah,
bigger fighter. But again, I worry about that weight cut.
All right, our next fight, Brad Tavares and Gregory Rodriguez. This fight was supposed to take place at UFC 283, but Tavares had to withdraw. Rodriguez stayed on the card and got knocked out. Despite that knockout, he is still the favorite here, minus 250 to Tavares' plus 190. What do you think of this one that was supposed to happen a few months ago?
This is an intriguing fight, just, you know, who's going to be able to dictate what they want to do. Brad Tavares, very good kickboxer, you know, tough guy to get out of there. He's been in the middleweight division in the UFC forever. Gregory Rodriguez, you know, RoboCop, fights like RoboCop. Strikes are kind of robotic, but he has a lot of power, and he will have a decisive advantage if this fight goes to the ground and if he chooses to take it to the ground. Tavares is a very difficult guy to get down on the ground. We've seen it time and time again. He's been in there with some of the best grapplers we've had in the middleweight division. I'm not leaning either way. I think I could see both guys being successful. But I think Gregory Rodriguez being the younger fighter, the more powerful fighter, and the guy that I think at some point could land some fight-changing strikes, I'll throw Gregory Rodriguez into our parlay.
Ooh.
Along with Armin Petrosian. So we've got two fixed in there right now, but it's not a confident selection. I mean, you got money
to play with from last week.
That's right. You set the tone for us to have a parlay in this. I think Gregory Rodriguez should win the fight.
Okay.
He's on the come up. I think Brad Tavares, his best days are behind him, but he's always a tough out in the 185-pound division.
All right. If we look at method of victory here, Tavares by knockout is plus 500. Same with Tavares by decision. And then if you look at the other side, Rodriguez by decision is plus 175, and by knockout is plus 200.
Small sprinkle on that knockout?
2-1? You can go with a little bit of more of a sprinkle than a small sprinkle. Like, you know when you go and you get the cones, and they cover the whole thing in sprinkles? That's kind of the sprinkle you do.
Okay.
With a knockout at 2-1. 2-1's not great.
I mean, here's the thing. Gregory Rodriguez, I'm looking at, just wanted to double check this right now. He's got 5 victories in the UFC. 4 of them have come via knockout.
All right, I'm going with Abdallah's pick is going to be Rodriguez by knockout.
All right, we need a sound effect for that moving forward.
Pew!
Not one that's made by you.
Why not?
Don't we have some strong production?
My pick. I don't know what our sound effects are labeled anymore. You know, the last time I don't.
We got the news dog.
Now listen, we got the news dog. I will say that. And like behind the scenes, like I don't run the board anymore. I'm not saying like, oh, it's not my job. I don't run the board anymore. But like, I just haven't done it in a long. It's kind of like riding a bike. We're like. Once you do it a couple times, like once you're on it for a break, you're fine. So let me see. Let's see. What can we do? What can we do for... Let's see. What do we got for a sounder? No, we don't have anything like that. Let's see. No, none of that. I don't know, man. I'm not finding anything. Let's see. Let's see. What about this?
This is awesome audio right now. Very interesting.
Here we go. I've got one for you. Here's this. Abdallah's pick is Gregory Rodriguez to win by knockout. All right, cool.
That's in. Locked and loaded.
All right. The sat trombone.
What was that? +200?
+200. +200. 2-1. Okay. 2-1 for Gregory Rodriguez.
We'll note that.
And he's in our parlay. Our next fight, our second to last fight here, Dan Ige against Andre Fili in the featherweight here. Ige had a 3-fight slide at the start of last year. He won again in June, but then lost to Bryce Mitchell in December. And then Fili, he fought at UFC 296, so he fought like 3 months ago at UFC 296, and he was replacing. It was short notice, but he still won the fight. So you've got Andre Fili against Dan Ige here, and right now Dan Ige is -185 the favorite here.
Yeah, and I think he should be. He's been in there with the better level of competition. He hasn't been successful against that higher level of competition, but certainly should be the favorite. Plus the fact that the short notice nature that Andre Fili is accepting this fight. Dan Ige, very good boxer. I think he's got, you know, relatively strong takedown defense. He can go hard for 3 rounds, and he's a tough guy to get out of there. But Andre Fili looked fantastic at that UFC 296 showcase against Lucas Almeida. I mean, his striking was extremely slick. He got Lucas Almeida, the younger fighter, out of there in just over 3 minutes. Recency bias for me, no other reason. I think that the guy trending in the upwards direction, even though he's been in the UFC for quite some time, is Andre Touchy Fili. I think that he's a very hot, difficult guy. Yes, that's his nickname, Andre Touchy Fili.
No, I know it is, and it gets me every time because we talk about him a lot, and it's like, ugh.
It just flows off the tongue, too.
You got to be better. No.
He does or I do?
No, him. He needs a better nickname.
Okay, well, that's his name. It's okay. Well, Dan 50K Ige?
Oh, I like that.
You do?
I kind of like that.
Are you going to now start to base your picks on the nicknames?
No. I feel like I've come a long way now. Maybe in the beginning, the first couple months of this podcast, okay, I would have done that.
Yeah. When Shea filled in for you, he really liked the nickname.
That's fair.
He would go in that direction.
Yeah.
I just think recency bias. You know, Danny, also Andre Fili is a very difficult guy to emulate when you're preparing for him, whether it be over a three-month camp or a short-notice nature. This is going to be a scrap. This is one of those fights that I would recommend if your book has Fight of the Night. Which they don't even give out anymore. But anyways, if they did and they had that bet, I just realized
they give out bonuses. Yeah, they do.
Do they give it out for Fight of the Night or Performance of the Night?
I think it's called Performance of the Night, but I think it's the same.
Okay, if your book allows, yes, this is going to be a barn burner. This should be fun for however long it lasts. And I can actually see it going to the judges' scorecards, even though guys both have finishing abilities. I think just Andre Touchy Fili, small sprinkle on the money line.
Ooh.
He's the underdog. He's taking this fight on short notice, difficult guy. And I think actually wrestling is going to come into play. He's not known as a wrestler, but he does come from an outstanding wrestling camp, Team Alpha Male. I certainly think that could come into play. So I like Andre Fili to win the fight.
All right, +140 there. The dogs are barking and not our news dog. But just the regular dogs are barking there for this fight. And so if you look at here, method of victory with Andre Touchy Fili.
You did it. I didn't do it. You did it.
By decision is +250. By knockout, +600. And then Ige by decision, +165. By knockout, +250.
I don't have a lean on any type of prop.
No, we're taking the dog. It's fine. We don't need it. I was just giving them out there for you just in case you were like, all right, let's do this. But you said it goes the distance. But at that point, you're going off of judges and that kind of thing. So just money line, it's fine.
It's fine.
Yeah. Our main event, Jack Hermansson, Joe Pyfer. Hermansson is fighting for the first time since December of 2022. That is what, 14 months?
14 months.
Since his last fight when he lost to Roman Dolidze, who we just saw fight back in Orlando back in 2022. And Pyfer keeps fighting a lot. He won his first 3 UFC appearances. He's submitted guys. He's He got his first submission finish, if I could read, his first submission finish inside the octagon against Abdul Razak Al-Hassan a while ago. So this should be a decent fight. The odds would dictate Joe Pyfer, the heavy favorite here, minus 280.
Joe Pyfer, the UFC has decided that this guy could potentially be one of the bigger stars in the future, especially at the middleweight division. He comes with a lot of power. He comes with some good grappling base. He comes with a good personality. His nickname is Body Bags. You talked about that last week on
with
the
pod.
With a Z. Correct. So this is a showcase fight for him. This is an opportunity to prove to the doubters, the world, the rankings that he deserves to be in the top 10, maybe the top 7 or 6 of the middleweight division. Jack Hermanson's been there. He's been there at the top heap of the 185-pound division for quite some time. He wasn't able to compete early on in 2023. He had to pull out of a fight against Brendan Allen in April, undisclosed injury, so we don't know what effect that did. And Jack Hermanson, at 35 years of age now, you know, he's not going to be evolving as a fighter. He's a guy that's a pressure fighter. He's got very strong cardio, and he wants to take fights to the ground. And I saw him perform in South Florida several years ago against Jacare Souza. Outstanding performance, really put the spotlight on him. He cashed that night as an underdog. But the fight after that was a showcase fight when he was in his home country. Where's he from again? Sweden. He was in home country of Sweden. He had a fight against Jared Cannonier and lost in the second round via knockout. I believe Jared Cannonier has the same type of skill set that Jack Hermanson's going to see against Joe Pyfer on Saturday night. A guy that's a powerful puncher, a guy that's got good takedown defense or good takedown offense. And Jack Hermanson's pressure is going to be his undoing. So I like Joe Pyfer to win the fight. I would stuff him certainly into our parlay, but I think Pyfer, he's got 5 rounds to find the chin of Jack Hermanson. Yeah. I don't think it's going to take
by
that
knockout
amount of
is
time.
Even money.
Yeah, that's what I like. I like Joe Pyfer to win the fight via knockout. And I think you could also bank on the fact that he's going to get the victory in round 1 or round 2.
Ooh,
I think it's going to come early. I think Hermanson's not going to be able to do it against smaller cage at the Apex.
Plus 250 for round 1, plus 600 for round 2.
Yeah, I want to get that round 1 and 2 combination, which you've found for me before. But yeah, as I was saying,
the problem with that is that's on FanDuel, I believe, and FanDuel hasn't put out like methods of victory yet because we are recording this on a Wednesday.
So pay attention to that. I mean, that's what I would look for because also smaller Apex, Hermanson's not going to be able to utilize his footwork, utilize spacing because his even though, you know, I mentioned that he is a pressure fighter, a guy that gets in your face, his takedowns, though, come from distance. And he's not going to be able to operate like that. I could see, you know, him looking for a takedown and Pyfer landing an uppercut and putting him into the shadow realm. Second guy to go to the shadow realm we talked about today.
I have Pyfer to win in rounds 1 and 2, but not by knockout. That's only plus 110.
Okay,
so
see,
we want a little more value. You want by knockout in rounds 1 or 2.
Yeah, because, look, Pyfer also is a guy that is an equal opportunist.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we saw him submit Abdul Razak Al-Hassan.
Yeah.
This is his last time. So he's a guy that will, you know, certainly hunt for some sort of submissions if he can find them. But this is a guy that is continuing to evolve. This is a guy that they think it can be a top-tier contender. Here's your showcase fight. Super Bowl weekend, make a big impact and get the victory. And let's stuff him into our parlay as well.
All right. So right now we have a 3-leg parlay, but first our picks. Armin Petrosian, moneyline, minus 102. Flowers, moneyline, plus 102. Rodriguez, plus 200 on the moneyline there. It's a little sprinkle. Andre Touchy-Feely. Ugh. At plus 140, and then Pyfer by knockout at plus 100, and then when it is available, Pyfer by knockout in rounds 1 or 2. I was looking at this real quick, trying to bring this back up. Yeah, our parlay, I had to go back to the last screen. Our parlay, Armin Petrosian, Gregory Rodriguez, and Joe Pyfer in there. That's 3 fights. That 3-leg parlay pays plus 276, which I believe is the exact same odds as last week's parlay.
You want to add one more?
Yeah, absolutely.
Devin Clark, light heavyweight fight against Marcin Prochniow.
Okay.
Devin Clark, if he does what he's supposed to do and wrestle Devin, and he will, that'll add to our parlay for sure.
So Petrosian, Gregory Rodriguez, Joe Pyfer, Devin Clark, four-leg parlay, all on the money line, plus 447.
Yeah, buddy.
That's perfect. Super Bowl weekend. Get that in. Hopefully it cashes. We're still playing with a little bit of house money from last week's parlay. So let's do that, and then let's get some Super Bowl bets. Head to FatJackSports.com. Get signed up today. You can get all of Jordan's picks, plus all the Super Bowl picks, plus college basketball. NBA is coming up. Listen, all these guys are going to be changing teams here. Trade deadline's coming up on Thursday. You're going to need to know who to bet. Don't just bet willy-nilly. You're like, oh, maybe I'm going to bet this team. Guess what? That guy's player's gone now. So what are you going to do? Well, Jack knows.
Yeah. Pay attention to somebody in the know.
Exactly. And get all the Super Bowl picks right there as well. And, yeah, anything else?
And
for
you
this?
Like who in the Super Bowl again?
I like the Chiefs.
Okay. Oh, that's right. We talked about that. We both moneylined the Chiefs immediately after they won the game against Baltimore.
Yeah, I put in Chiefs moneyline. I'm probably going to go with Red Gatorade.
Okay.
And I'm betting all the... I put out a video on my socials at Adam A. Abdallah of all the 13s. Because if you know anything about Taylor Swift, she loves the number 13. This is her 13th game that she's going to this year. Super Bowl 58, 5 plus 8, 13. It's played on February 11th. 2 plus 11 is 13. So the Chiefs to win by exactly 13 points is 55-1. The Chiefs to win between 1 and 13 points is plus 160. The Chiefs to win between 13 and 18 points is plus 550.
This is deep, man.
Isn't it? It's a Super Bowl, man.
Who is number 13 on the Chiefs?
They don't have a number 13. Okay. That's why I'm also sprinkling to cover my ass on number 13 for the 49ers, Brock Purdy, to win MVP.
MVP.
Also, 4 plus 9 is 13. Whoa. I'm just saying. All right?
You've got something cooking
there. No, like, listen, it's been going around the internet for 2 weeks now since the Super Bowl was set that, like, this is, like, all coming up. And so all I did was go in because of the number 13 is go in and find any Chiefs bet that had the number 13 attached to it.
Got it.
Like, by them winning by a certain amount of points. So I think the one that's going to come in is them by winning by 1 to 13. And plus 160 is still good money. So I'll take that.
I'll tell you what, that them winning by plus 13 at plus 50,
by exactly 13 points, 55
to 1.
I'll put $5 on it and just hope it happens. And then if it happens, it's going to be like the crazy. Twitter will explode.
Right.
Like all the Taylor Swift fans, if they win by 13 points, like it will be, especially if it's like at the end, they're up. And let's say they're like Purdy throws a pick six, right? And so now they're up 13 and going for the extra point and they miss or something crazy like that. Like then I think that's when it goes nuts, right? That's when people are like, oh, look what Taylor Swift did. She made them, she's a sorcerer. She made them win by 13. Like it'll be something like that, right? It'll be crazy. Anyway, have fun betting the Super Bowl. What else do you like this week in the Super Bowl?
I do have the money line. I haven't looked at anything else. You know me. I'm a day-to-day guy.
Yeah.
So I got to go college basketball tonight, college basketball Thursday and Friday.
And Saturday.
And then Saturday night, we'll see how the UFC fight card goes. And then Sunday, I mean, it'll probably be the normal stuff. Pacheco on the over. It'll be McCaffrey receptions over.
Kittle to score a touchdown for sure.
Kittle to score a touchdown.
For sure.
You know, something like maybe is there something to do Mahomes, Kittle, Travis Kelce, co-MVPs?
Yeah, Kelce to score a touchdown for sure. I think if you like parlay all the anytime touchdowns, like the easiest one obviously is to do Christian McCaffrey and Kelce. Like those two are pretty much guaranteed. Like I think in the NFC Championship game, McCaffrey was like minus 250 to score a touchdown. Like you don't see odds like that to score an anytime touchdown.
Right.
But it's just a given that he's going to get in the end zone. So if you're doing anything, I think you should put. Now watch, it'll happen like when the Bears won the Super Bowl. They never gave the ball to Walter Payton.
Right.
That's what'll happen here. It'll be like it'll be the exact same thing. He just won't get the ball. But yeah, so that's what I think you should throw him into any Super Bowl thing you do. Christian McCaffrey will score a touchdown.
I like it a lot.
All right. We will be back next week. Thank you for listening. We'll preview a much better card. Our guy, Volkanovski's fighting. It should be great. UFC 298 is going to be awesome. We'll preview it all next week on another episode of the Unnamed MMA Podcast. Thanks for listening.